Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host. My name is Vinny. And joining me today in studio, it's Hans Kim. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, folks, drink responsibly, do good things, and always be kind. Now, let's start the show. Hey, folks, my guest today has been performing stand-up comedy for what I'm estimating to be about 10 years. His career skyrocketed over the last 24 months, and I'm thrilled to have him on the show today. It's Hans Kim. Good morning, Hans.
Hey, how are you?
I'm really, really well. I loved your show last night.
Thank you. It was a fun one.
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, I don't really follow Kill Tony as closely as some people do, but I did catch a few of your appearances over the years, over the last year or so. And I got to tell you, dude, it's amazing what this show has done for people.
Yeah, it's like Tony's decided to be nice to some people and then be like, let's see how far this goes. And it's like, hey, if I can use that to advance my career, I will try very hard to do that.
Well, for those of you who are watching this that don't know what Kill Tony is, I'm sure that's not a lot of you. It's really doing a service for stand-up comedy, in my opinion, especially for joke writing, because the whole premise of the show is it gives new comics an opportunity to perform 1 minute of stand-up. And then after, you're either going to get roasted or you're going to get some love. But getting people to write in 1 minute increments is kind of an interesting thing because not a lot of people do that. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, most of the people that go up are just doing their best minute. So that's sort of like that. That's a totally different beast. Like what I'm doing is like doing new stuff every week, which is like weird because then I just have to like figure out what's going to work / what I want to say / what I want people to think about me in comedy. So, I mean, it's pretty close to writing for my hour, but it's also like whatever you want to make it. Like sometimes it's local stuff or local stuff. Sometimes it's current news, but yeah, I'm just basically scrambling every week to try to get something that will make people like me and make Tony give me positive feedback.
Okay. Well, I believe the old expression goes with you is luck is where preparation meets opportunity. And you spent a long time before you ever went on his podcast. It was 8 years performing stand-up and learning how to do stand-up before you had the opportunity to go on there to be catapulted. Where did you first start performing?
Yeah, every overnight success takes 10 years. Seattle. I was open micing there. I did 4 years in undergraduate in Georgia Tech, got a degree in mechanical engineering, got a job at a startup company, got fired, was very bad. I got a 2.7 GPA as a mechanical engineer. Not really a good thing for me to do. And then I started living with my mom and doing comedy.
Interesting.
And then I come back home really late. On the second day, she was like, why are you coming home so late? You're doing drugs again and shoplifting again. And I was like, no, I'm actually doing stand-up comedy. And then she was like, oh, okay. And then she left me alone and let me live with her for 5 years just because I told her I was doing comedy. And it's just like, hey, it's like he's doing something that's kind of like not real, but at least it's something. So it's like she was just happy that I had something.
That's really interesting. So, I mean, mechanical engineering is one of those things that you have to have some type of aptitude towards and want to do it to put that much time in to get a degree in it, right? Did you like, were you doing stand-up at all before then?
No, I was just listening to the Rogan podcast and dreaming of not wasting my life away. And then when I got fired, I was like, okay, I don't want to do this. They don't want me to do this. Why am I doing this? So then I just started doing whatever the fuck I wanted to do.
The universe is strange, but I do give you a lot of credit for making a move. You know, it's really, it's a rare thing that someone actually starts out in comedy and sticks with it. I feel like a lot of people quit pretty quickly, and then I feel like a lot of people hang on too long. But I feel like things, the stars aligned for you, Hans.
Yeah, luckily. I mean, if I was still doing what I was doing 2 years ago, 10 years into comedy, it'd be kind of sad. So luckily, everything sort of worked out, and now I'm not appearing as a loser, and now I get to do comedy, which I would have done for free anyways, but now in the better venues and, you know, at the Carlson this weekend.
We're thrilled to have you here. There's four more shows this weekend, by the way, folks. You get your tickets right now at carlsoncomedy.com. You moved from Seattle to New York, then you moved to Austin, and you were living in a van?
Yeah.
Is that true? Well, how did you make that decision? You had a free ride with your mom. What made you decide, I'm going to go live in the van?
Well, I did 5 years in Seattle. It was kind of like running out whatever I could do there. I didn't feel like it was enough. So then I moved to New York, had a job, lived in Sunset Park, 30, 45 minutes away from downtown. Would work till 5, do like 2 mics if I was lucky, and then hike all the way back 45 minutes to Sunset Park. And I was like, what is the point of this? I might as well just make my own house instead of like working to pay for it, because it's like it takes a lot of work to do it that way. And if I just make my own house, I cut out the middleman. I don't like work to make money to pay someone else to have a house. I just build my own house, and then I can just focus on comedy. I guess I got spoiled living for 5 years with my mom. I was just like, hey, why do I have to do the first part of the day when I could just focus on the second part? So I was like, let me cut out that part of my life that I don't like and just live in a minivan. So that's what I did. Like, I used to...
I'm sorry. You seem like somebody who likes to challenge themselves a lot. Would that be a good assessment of you?
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, I guess I hate myself enough to torture myself, but love myself enough to try to live an interesting life. So it's a love-hate relationship.
Well, you never really go anywhere until you actually make a decision to take a step forward. And sometimes, you know, it's not always the most comfortable first step. It's not the most comfortable 10th, 15th step. Like, you know, it's a struggle, this business of stand up. And what you've done in like the last 24 months is rarefied air, Hans.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super privileged to be here. I would be doing this for a lot less money and a lot less comedy audiences. So I'm just going to keep it going until the wheels fall off.
How much of the Hans Kim that we see on stage is the real Hans Kim? You're not doing a character, are you?
No, I mean, I am I don't think like thinking the right thing about people is, I mean, I don't think like ignoring things about other people is like the way to go. Like, you don't have to like be like, oh, Asian people are the same as me to treat them well. You can think whatever you want about them, and then treating them well is like another thing. So I think, yes, you can be honest and you can like say, hey, Asian people are kind of pushy and stand really close to you in lines, and you can still treat them well. In fact, I think that's the only way to treat them well. If you're ignoring them, then you're not really seeing them for who they are. And I think it's better to just be honest with people and, you know, and then treat them well after that, not to ignore things and like think that like, in a really nerfed world kind of thing. I think it's like, if you see people honestly, the love will come from that, not from like cutting away the edges of humanity and like the things that make us unique.
I think that's very well said. I really appreciate your take on that, because acknowledging differences isn't hatred. Acknowledging differences is acknowledging that not everybody is exactly the same. Treating people, as you just said so eloquently, is really what's important.
Yeah. And, I mean, acknowledging differences can be bad. You can use it for evil or you could use it for good. But yeah, I mean, ignoring people is like the worst because then it allows you to like treat them badly or just ignore other people and only care about yourself.
I can't imagine that the deep message behind what you do on stage, if this is the deep message, always translates to everybody. Do some people take you the wrong way, do you think?
I guess so. I think it's like up to them, but really I'm just trying to make them laugh. If yeah. the deeper message gets through, that's fine. But if I'm making like people more racist, like I don't think I'm doing a very good job of that.
Right.
I think it's like if you respect comedy and you're like, you got to be saying the right thing, then it's like, well, I'm not really making that much of a difference. But then if you're like, I'm not making a difference at all and I can say whatever I want, then it's like, what is the point of it? So it's like, I like the balance. I like to, tell myself what I'm doing either matters or doesn't, depending on how it'll help my comedy. But really, I'm just trying to do the make people laugh thing. And the message, I think, will shine through no matter what I try to do.
Sure.
And I think some people can see it. So I don't think I need to try to shove a message in there. I think the message, if it's there, it'll shine through anyways. So I don't try to go out of my way to be like, and also, by the way, we should nationalize railroads or whatever.
Understood. I gotcha. How would you say your act has like changed over the years from when you first started? When you first started, were you necessarily, writing about the same type of topics? I mean, how did you first approach stand-up?
When I first approached stand-up, it was like a completely different thing. I'd be up there like, always thinking about every little thing. And then as you do anything, you like start simplifying and thinking about the things that actually matter. I don't know how much it changed. I think it's been pretty similar, like the gist of it, and then just got sure. better at writing it, but yeah, I don't know how much it changed, but I think that figured out like, oh, people don't want to be lectured or yelled at. They putting the dog medicine in the meat sort of better.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day, I just like try to shove the pill in, and now there's more meat around it.
I feel like when you're doing the type of humor that you do, what I really appreciate at the end of it is how sharp your joke writing is, Hans. Like, you don't waste words, man. It's really impressive to watch. I want you to know that. Like, I watch a lot of stand-up. I work at the club. I talk to a lot of comics, but man, you do not waste a word when you write. Do you like self-edit or does it just like come out like that for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it took a lot of work to like figure that out, even though it sounds easy. It's like, don't put in any extra words. You want to be like, and this is who I really am. Look at my emotions and personality. And like that urge is always there, but it's like, hey, if, I'm not trying to shove a message in. I'm just trying to, get the laughs, and let's get the laughs, and then the message will be there. Like, I just have faith that the message will be there. So it's like, I don't need to put in anything extra. The extra comes from the audience interpreting the jokes. So I'm just like, let's just give them the jokes, and then anything extra will be in the jokes. I'd rather like, I don't have to like go out of my way to be like, and abortion is a human right. I can just be like, just say what I'm saying, and then that the message will shine through. So I just focus on sure. the joke part, and then the jokes will help the message.
Well, what I really appreciate is you're not exactly like an animated figure on stage. You kind of plant yourself and you tell your jokes, and your jokes are so sharp, you don't have to put the mannerisms into it that some comics do. Like, your joke writing is so strong that it hits on its own. Like, I'm so impressed by how funny the jokes are. Like, I feel like you could probably stand behind a cardboard wall and still tell the jokes and get laughs, man.
Yeah.
It's really something to see.
I forget what I was going to say. I think it's good to have the writing down. I like being in a room and saying things like, you know, the penis game or the vagina game where you just start yelling penis louder and louder. Like, I think that is, if you could like figure out what's going on when people are doing that, then it's like, well, what if you're on stage and you're saying this and it's like, oh, if you say the right combination of words, it produces something in the audience, and then just reducing the variables and then just like, oh, let's see what words will create the most shit in their mind. Because even if you're like the most animated comic, you have nothing against Cirque du Soleil or a movie.
Sure.
You just basically rely on your words anyways. So why not just cut down to the bare bones of what people like about stand-up comedy and watching a dude talk, and just focus on the potency of the words as opposed to, like, you know, trying to compete with fireworks and stuff.
Sure.
Just focus on, like, making the words the best, because what we like about other people is who they are and authenticity. So maybe I'm trying to focus on that. But yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, you are going to see the authentic Hans Kim right here at Comedy at the Carlson this weekend. Like I was telling you earlier, there are tickets available for 4 more shows. You get your tickets right now at carlsoncomedy.com. And if you want to follow Hans or get more information on him, he is at DJ Hans Kim on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find him Hans Kim on YouTube. And of course, on Kill Tony as a regular. Hans, what's next for you? Do you have any big plans? Is there anything you're working on right now?
I'm just touring and working on the comedy and writing, doing a podcast. But really, I'm just going to try to keep it going. I don't really see much more, maybe, if I could get on a movie. But I'm not really going to work too hard to do that. So
the goal is stand-up for you, huh?
Yeah, my goal is to have an hour that's amazing, and then record it, put it out, and then do that over and over again. And then just keep doing comedy. So technically, I already made it.
That's beautiful. That's a real stand-up comedian right there, folks. That is a man who loves the game of stand-up. And you're going to enjoy him this weekend. So Hans, thank you for your time this afternoon, man. I know you woke up to come talk to me. Go get rested, get some food, and get ready for the shows tonight. Thanks again, man.
Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure, folks. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Carlson Cast. Get your tickets for Hans, carlsoncomedy.com. And remember, act right. We'll see you at a show, Rochester. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.